sorry. Gotta start again. Okay, Samach Gimel Amid Beis. 12 lines from the top. The Gemara says, Tan Rabban Rabban Lunch, Shenichnas Rabbesin El Kerem B'Yavne. When the Chachamim entered Kerem B'Yavne, there's a famous yeshiva in Yavne. In fact, by the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, when Rabbi Yechman Zaki met the future Roman Emperor, he asked him to save the yeshiva of Yavne. Now, it was always known as Kerem B'Yavne. Why was it called Kerem? Kerem is a vineyard. Why was it called Kerem B'Yavne? Because the way the students sat was in rows. It was like a vineyard, you know, like you have rows of vines growing. So it was known as Kerem B'Yavne. So when the Chachamim entered Kerem B'Yavne, how Yusham over there was Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yasi, Rabbi Nechemiah, Rabbi Lazar, the son of Rabbi Yasi Aglid. All these sages were there. In other words, they all came. So what did they do? Paschu Birkulam Bechved Achsanya. They all opened with the honor of the host. There's a din in the Gemara, Pechsim Bechved Achsanya. Whenever you come to a place, you're supposed to open up the praises of the host. Because after all, he's hosting you. So it says the people that the householders of Yavne that would support the people, that to feed them, take care of them, host them, house them, so they used to speak in their honor. So Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda, who is the head speaker, the first speaker in all places, I'll explain in a second, in respect of Teira, he opened his words with the word honor of Teira, and he said the following. Before we go further, the Gemara calls him, Rabbi Yehuda was Reisha Medabrim B'chol Mokim. He was the first speaker of all the speakers. That was the Roman rule. What happened was, the famous story in the Gemara Shabbos, when Rabbi Yasi, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai were sitting, and they were discussing the Romans. And Rabbi Yehuda said, oh, look how nice the Romans are. They build us bathhouses and bridges. They're so good to us. Rabbi Yasi kept quiet. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said the famous statement, whatever the goyim do is bad. Whatever they did is for themselves. And therefore, they really never did it for us. When there was a snitcher there, Yasi ben Gadim, his name was, he went to snitch to the Roman emperor that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai spoke against him. So that's why Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai had to hide in the cave for 13 years, 12, and then the 13th year. Why? Because he said that statement of this in this story. Now, because Rabbi Yehuda spoke good against the Roman emperor paskind that whenever there's a group of rabbis, the first speaker has to be Rabbi Yehuda. And they kept that tradition. So Rabbi Yehuda was called Rosh HaMedabrim B'chol Mokim. He was the first speaker, the head of the speakers, he was the first one that spoke. That's basically what Rashi explained. Rashi does bring down the Gemara on Shabbos, but the Gemara says that's why he was called the head speaker. So Rabbi Yehuda opens up his mouth to speak in honor of the place, and he said the following. After the Jews sinned in the eagle, it says, Meshe Beinu took his tent, and he went took it outside the camp. He didn't want to be associated anymore with the Jewish sinners in the eagle. So he took his thing and went out. So it says, Halidvarim Kalvachemir, is it not a Kalvachemir? What's the Kalvachemir? Uma Arin Hashem. What if the Arin of Hashem, Shloya Merucha Kalashne Masin Mil, it was only 12 mil away because the whole Jewish camp took up 12 mil. So Moshe Rabbeinu took the tent, the oil, and put it outside the tent, outside the camp. He says, it was only at the most 12 mil from their homes, yet the Pasuk says, V'hoya k'mevakesh Hashem, whoever went to seek Hashem, Yoytze Yom Ma'ed, went out to the Yom Ma'ed. In other words, even though the whole camp, the whole Jewish camp in the desert, was 12 mil by 12 mil, Moshe Rabbeinu moved his tent outside the camp. So at max, the furthest guy from Moshe Rabbeinu's tent was 12 mil. Yet, the Torah says, whoever went to seek out God would go to the Ohel Moed. So, Talmidei Chachamim, scholars, Shehelcha Meir Leir, that travel from city to city, or Medina Le Medina, and from country to country, Lil Me Torah, to learn Torah, Alachas Kama Vekama, are they not called seekers of Hashem? So Rabbi Yehuda said the following, all you people that are coming to learn Torah, You call her seekers of Hashem because you're going more than 12 mil. You people are wandering from city to city, from country to country to come learn Torah. So for sure you're called seekers of Hashem. And then the pasuk continues. V'dibur Hashem al Moshe ponim al ponim. This is, so to speak, parenthetical. That Hashem spoke to Moshe ponim al ponim, face to face. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi Yitzchak said, Amar l'Kadosh Baruch Hu l'Moshe. Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe, well, so the question is, what does it mean face to face? Obviously Hashem doesn't have a face, and he doesn't face Moshe Rabbeinu's face. So what does it mean face to face? So with the way Rabbi Yitzchak learns it to mean, Moshe, and Hashem says to Moshe, Moshe, ani va'ata nazbir ponim b'alocha. Let us show each other a kindly face in halacha. In other words, let's discuss the concept of Torah. The Ika de Amri, other people say no. Kacham l'Kadosh Baruch Hu l'Moshe. That what it means, panim o'panim, is a different thing. That this is what Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu. K'shem shani is barti loch panim. Just like I show you a kindly face, kachata has be panim li'Yisrael. So you should also show a kind face to the Jews. V'hachzer ha'olam, come and bring your tent back to the camp. In other words, after Moshe Rabbeinu moved his house outside the camp, Hashem says to Moshe, panim o'panim, mean, Hashem says, just like I was kind and forgave the Jews for the eagle, right? So why don't you do it? Why don't you forgive? If I showed a kind face to the Jews, why don't you? So therefore Hashem told him, take your tent and bring it back into the camp. Just like I forgave the Jews, you should also.
And why did he took his out of the camp?
Because he didn't want to have anything to do with the Jews. He just worshipped the eagle right after Matan Torah.
That's when he took his out of the camp.
Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know that they were forgiving him.
He knew because he was the one that went up to fight.
Yeah, but did he get answered right away?
Yeah. V'salachti kidvarecha. Hashem forgave him. Moshe Rabbeinu, though, had to fight for 40 days. Really, not 40, 80 days. Because the second 80 days, I mean, he was there 3 times 40. Okay? The first 40 is when he came down with the Luchas, after the first 40. Second 40, he went up to argue with Hashem. He still didn't get forgiven. He went up the third time, the third 40-day period, and he came down, Hashem said, Salachti kidvaracha. After that, it says in the Chumash, Moshe Rabbeinu took his tent out. So over there, the pasuk says, Hashem said to Moshe, panim opanim. So either panim means, let's show each other a kind face. Or another interpretation, the Hashem says to Moshe, if I was kind to the Jews, why aren't you kind to the Jews? If I forgave the Jews, you should forgive the Jews, so take your tent and put it back. And then Taket says, V'shava l'machana. And it says, he, Moshe Rabbeinu, would return to the camp. Amr Ababu, Rababu said, Amr HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Moshe, Hashem said to Moshe, Achshav Yemru. Now the people are going to say, Hashem says to Moshe, you can't leave the camp. It's very simple. I'm angry, you're angry. Who do the Jews have for them to stick up? He says, Achshav Yemru, the people are going to say, Harav Bekas, the teacher is angry. The Talmud Bekas, and the student is angry, meaning you, Moshe Rabbeinu, are angry at the Jews. Yisro Mate Aleim, what's going to be with the Jews? In other words, Hashem says, somebody has to stick up for the Jews. It's like, this is a deal, you know. You show anger, but I'll be the nice guy, you be the mean guy. Hashem says to Moshe, but you're mean, I mean. I mean, who's going to be mekadesh of the Jews? So he says, Im ata machzer olam kamei. So Hashem said to him, listen, Hashem threatened him. He said to him, to Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem said, Im ata machzer olam kamei. If you take your tent and bring it back, mutav good. Vim lav, and if not, if you decide to be angry, then you're not going to be a leader anymore. Im lav Yeshua ben Nun tamidcha, your servant, Yeshua ben Nun, your student, Mishartcha, your servant, Tachtecha, will serve instead of you. In other words, you won't be a leader anymore. Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu very clearly, if you keep up leaving your tent outside, you're not going to be a leader anymore. The Jews need a leader that even when Hashem is angry, they should be nice to them. Yeah, but he originally took his tent out. Listen, Moshe Rabbeinu risked his life plenty for the Jews. Plenty. I mean, he told him to erase me from the book, and he did everything. But here he took his tent out of the camp.
But he didn't then during that time that he had to tend out, he was still bidding.
But he still went back and forth. And the Jews felt that Moshe Rabbeinu deserted them. Still, he deserted them. So he said, you can't, Hashem said, you can't desert the Jews. Which is, by the way, it's if you think about it, it's an unbelievable lesson. Hashem says, I'm angry at the Jews, but you can't be. Because they need somebody to hold their hands. Yeah, but it's very interesting. I mean, Hashem said, if I'm angry, everybody should be angry. Hashem said, no, you told Moshe Rabbeinu, if not, you're out of a job, Yeshua Ben Nun is going to take your job.
It's like mother and father, one is kind, the other one is nice.
Question, who's who? They have to change jobs every so often. Interchange. Behind the dechsev. That's what it says in the pasuk. The shav elamachen, and Moshe Rabbeinu returned to the camp. And it doesn't say, and the taka says, Moshe Rabbeinu returned. V'shav elamachen, he returned. Amar Rav, Rav said, Afal pikein, even though taka Moshe Rabbeinu brought his tent back to the camp, le'yotzer adavar levatol, Hashem's speech doesn't go in vain. Even when Hashem says something on a condition, and the condition was felt, or by tzaddik, and we find this in Chumash, in these week's parshas, we find the whole story when, what we're going to read the Shabbos. Yehuda comes to Yaakov and says, you have to send Binyamin along, you know, if not, Yosef doesn't want to see us anymore. Right? So Yehuda tells Yaakov, if I don't bring the kid back, I'll be damned from this world and from the world to come. That's what he cursed himself with. So even though factually he did bring Binyamin back at the end, the next time Yehuda came back, Binyamin was back with him. Okay, they had the goblet story in the middle, but bottom line, when Yehuda came home, Binyamin was there, right? Nevertheless, the fact that he cursed himself, even though the condition was met, so the curse shouldn't be effective, it's still effective. And the Gemara says that his bones were shaking for 40 years in the desert until Moshe Rabbeinu finally, after 40 years, davened for Yehuda's bones that they should stop shaking and that they should go into Gan Eden. But they didn't want to let him in. Why? Because he cursed himself. The condition was met. I mean, the deal was done. Doesn't matter. When a tzaddik curses, there's ramifications of it. The same thing he says, Rav is saying, when Hashem said something, that if you don't go back, Yeshua Ben Nun is going to take over, it had its effect. Why? Shenema, because it says in the Pasuk, U'misharse Yeshua ben Nun nar l'yomish mitecha oil, and it says what happened? Eventually Yeshua Taka became the leader. Because don't forget, this was all before the hitting of the rock. So the way it was, the plan, Hashem obviously knew, but the plan at this time was that Moshe Rabbeinu was taking the Jews in. Nevertheless, it had its effect that Yeshua took the Jews in. Sure, took the Jews in.
But this wasn't a tzaddik problem, it was a sham.
It's even more. Once you say something, Chassidus explains, once you say something, it has its effect. Even if you don't mean it, you do mean it, whatever, it has its effect. Because, like we learned, once you speak, in the world of speech, it happened, you know, the famous story of the Baal Shem Tov, the guy said, I'm going to rip you apart like a fish. And the Baal Shem Tov showed the vision to the students, the way the guy was actually ripping the guy apart like a fish.
So that's in the world of speech?
Huh?
So that would happen in the world of speech?
In the world of speech, that's what happens.
But it has an effect here?
Here, by Hashem, it has an effect in this world too. Yeah.
What about the 98 curses, though? That was conditional.
They had plenty of effects.
But that was
Right. But even if not, they would have a certain effect. It would have a certain effect.
Even for normal people, it does have an effect, doesn't it?
Anything a person says brings it into the world. B'chlal, not only in evil. I mentioned many times, in Torah you have the same thing. Or do you know that in science you have the same thing? But I'll give you first in Torah. The Beis Yosef, who wrote the Shulchan Aruch, was obviously a brilliant scholar. Okay? And he had a question. And it took him weeks to figure out the answer. In learning, he had a question, it took him weeks to figure out the answer. And after he got the answer, One day he was walking in a shul, whatever. There was a bunch of people learning. And somebody asked his question. And on the spot, somebody answered his answer. That it took him weeks to make, to figure out. The guy answered it on the spot, and the guy was nowhere near the greatness of the Beis Yosef. So the Beis Yosef couldn't understand it. You know, he knew who he was. He said, I don't understand. How is it possible that it took me weeks to work on it, and this guy got it on the spot? And the answer is, so the Malach, he had an angel that used to learn with him. After a while, the Malach explained to him, this Inyan and Torah was upstairs. You had to be, with your work and greatness, you brought it into the world, into the atmosphere, so to speak. Once it's in the atmosphere, anybody could pick it up. And you know what you find? The same thing with Lahavdil, scientific discoveries. After somebody invents and discovers something, all of a sudden another part of the world, a guy that doesn't even know but that guy exists, also discovers the same thing. You find that so many times with inventions and patents and brainstorms, once a guy has it, all of a sudden it's in the world, so other people pick it up much quicker. And that's because through speech, or even through thought for that matter, it comes into the world that it's easier to pick up. It's easier to get. Okay, so that was the first thing Rabbi Yehuda said. Very positive, Rabbi Yehuda b'chveda teira. Another thing Rabbi Yehuda opened up in the honor of teira, v'darish, and he said the following. Haskis Shema Yisrael. Haskis literally means listen, but it's more than listen. It's like here in the English it says pay heed. That means really listen carefully. Ushma Yisrael and listen. Hayem Azen Yisrael. Today you became a nation. This pasuk was said in the 40th year of the Midbar. At the end of Chumash Devarim, closer to the end of Chumash Devarim, Moshe Rabbeinu is saying to the Jews, listen carefully, today you became a nation. So the Gemara asked, V'chi Eisa Yeim Nitna Teiru L'Yisrael? Was that the day the Torah was given? Alei B'Sof, Eisa Yeim Sefer Boim Shanaya? It was at the end of the 40 years. So what do you mean, Moshe Rabbeinu seems to imply, today you got the Torah? They got the Torah 40 years earlier. How can he say, today you got the Torah? So the Gemara says, Lam Decha teaches us, that the people that really are into Torah is precious to the learners of Torah, that to want to study Torah every day, like the day it was given from Har Sinai. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu is telling the Jews, every time you learn Torah, it's like you got it today from Har Sinai. Or like we say in Shema, Asher Anechi Mitzavcha Hayom, that I'm commanding you today. So then again, the Medrash asks, what do you got today? The Torah was given 3,500 years ago. What do you mean today? Every day has to be brand new. Am Rab Tanchum V'rei D'Rab Chiyah Ish Kvar Aku. He says, I'll even prove it to you. He says, Teda, I'll prove it to you. That Torah is given like every day brand new. Sher Adam Keda Krishma Shachriz V'Arvis. If a person reads the Shema morning and night, V'Erev Echad Eina Keda, and one evening he doesn't say it, Deme, it seems to him, as if he never read the Shema. In other words, it's so important that, you know, if you didn't, like God forbid, if a very religious person misses a day of Tefillin for whatever reason it is, he thinks it's over, like he never did it before. And that shows how precious it is that it's only one day out of, hundreds and thousands of days. I mean, you have 365 days in a year. 10 years, the guy's putting on tefillin. One day he misses. I mean, he goes crazy. How did I do it? Why? Because it shows that a person's preciousness of Torah and mitzvahs is like it's every day. It's just a given, brand new. Then the Gemara says another thing. Now the Gemara is elaborating. What does it mean? Haskis u'shma. Haskis literally means heed. Listen carefully and Shema and listen. Says what does Haskes mean? Asu kitis, you should form groups. Haskes, the Gemara learns, is from the word kita, which means group. The Gemara is going to learn now the concept of how important it is to learn Torah in a group rather than as an individual. And the Gemara is going to learn, soon quotes various Gemaras from different places, that it's no good to learn Torah as an by yourself. You have to learn Torah in a group. In fact, there's a Gemara in Makkos that he alludes to soon. The Gemara says that there was a person, they called him Barberei Rav Dechad Yoima, the yeshiva student of one day. He traveled 6 months to yeshiva, spent one day in yeshiva, and traveled 6 months back. Why? Just to learn one day in the yeshiva. Because the one day of learning in a group in the yeshiva was better than staying home for 12 months and learning by yourself. So he says, Haskes, what does it mean, Haskes? Asu kitas kitas. Make groups for isko b'teira and occupy and engage in teira. Why? Fishin teira niknas ele b'chabura. Because teira is only acquired when you have a group. Why is teira acquired when you have a group? A very simple reason. When you have a discussion, this one asks, this one answers, then you get a clarity of the Torah. One of the reasons, we know there's Talmud Bavli. What we're learning is Talmud Bavli, the Babylonian Talmud. Then there's Talmud Yerushalmi. Not many people don't learn it. The Ger Chassidim learn a page a day of Talmud Yerushalmi. But I'll tell you why we don't learn it. People do, I mean, obviously. But the Halacha is always like Bavli. Now, if you ever see a whole Shas of Bavli, it's like a whole mass of 20 big volumes. Yerushalmi is 6 volumes this size. Bavli is like this. And there's a, even though Talmud Yerushalmi is from Yerushalayim, it was written over 100 years before the Talmud Bavli was compiled. It was written by Rabbi Yechinen, who was from the first Amiroim of the Gemara. He compiled Talmud Yerushalmi. Yerushalayim is Kimetzin Teitzei Seira. If you remember, we learned in the Gemara that the person was... Remember, we learned last week, in fact. The guy was out of Eretz Yisrael. He was working on the new months and the new things, and they screamed at him, and they almost wanted to excommunicate him. Why? They said, because Teitzei is in Yerushalayim. So it says, even though Teitzei is in Yerushalayim, why is Halacha like Talmud Bavli, not like Talmud Yerushalmi? So the reason the Halacha says, very simple, Yerushalmi is not debate and dialogue. That's why it's only this big. Yerushalmi is a bunch of statements. Rabbi so-and-so said this, Rabbi so-and-so said this, that was it. It's basically statements. Bavli, as we know, is question and answer and refuting and yelling and screaming, you know. That's the only way you come to the ultimate in-depth Halacha. That's where you come to the in-depth Halacha. So therefore, it says over here, if you want to acquire Torah, it's only when you have a group. When you have a group, you have the discussion, and so on and so forth. Because Rabbi Yisi Rav Chanina, like Rabbi Yisi Rav Chanina says, Dama Rabbi Yisi Rav Chanina, Rabbi Yisi Rav Chanina says, Mai Dechsiv, what is this that it says in the Pasuk? Cherev El Abadim V'Niyolu. There'll be a sword against those who are alone. What does it mean, there'll be a sword against those who are alone? It says, there'll be a sword, Cherev al Sineim Shotamidei Chachamim. There'll be a sword against the enemies of those Torah scholars, Sheyesh V'Mbad V'Vad, who sit alone, each one alone, V'Eiskim V'Teir, and occupy themselves in Teir. Meaning, as Rashi says, it doesn't mean the enemies of scholars. The Gemara doesn't want to say the scholars. It says, Cherev al Badim V'Neyolu means that the scholars that learn alone, there'll be a sword over their heads. But the Gemara doesn't want to say that about the scholars. The Gemara says the enemies of the scholars. But the Gemara really means the Torah scholars alone. So therefore, it's no good. What?
You have a similar... In everyday life, you have the same expression in Parsi.
That what? You talk about somebody else, the opposite.
Yeah, the enemies,
yeah. Also, when the Gemara has an expression about Hashem wanting to destroy the Jews... The Gemara doesn't say Hashem wants to destroy the Jew. Hashem wants to destroy the enemies of the Jew. Because the Gemara even verbally didn't want to say it. It's interesting. People are not careful in this. But this is the concept of speaking nicely. The Gemara, because like we said before, even when you speak, it has its effect, even though it's not going to be true. So the Gemara didn't want to say verbally that the Jewish scholars are going to get killed or the Jewish nation is going to get killed, so they use it on the enemies.
This reinforces your earlier statement.
Right, that's what I'm saying, that they didn't want to because it still has its effect.
Tanakh, they have that expression too. Like David says.
Yeah, yeah, and
they happen to David's enemies.
Right. V'loy eid, and not only that they have a sword over their head, ele shemitapshim. If they study alone, they become foolish. Why did they become foolish? Because they make mistakes. Because if they're learning by yourself and you learn wrongly, who's going to correct your mistake? So you're going to learn the halacha wrongly, and you're going to act based on what you're learning, and it's wrong. Like this, somebody will correct you. Right? It's like what similar says, that somebody really has to learn the laws of family purity properly. Because that's in the bedroom, nobody knows what's going on. Like if you're in a house Shabbos and you do something wrong, so somebody will tell you you did something wrong. You know, if you're doing this, somebody will tell you, but it goes on behind the bedroom doors. How is somebody supposed to know that you're doing something wrong or not? Nobody's going to tell you you're doing something wrong. So therefore it says those dinim, really somebody has to learn properly. And not only that, like it says, shemetapchen, they become foolish. Why? Because here it says, it says here the word v'ne'olu. And by Moshe and Aaron, it says Asher Ne'alnu, that we made a mistake, or that we acted foolishly. Ne'alnu is Asher Chatanu, we acted foolishly and we sinned. So he says over here, it says the word Ne'alnu, and by Moshe Ben it says Ne'alnu. Just like over there means they became foolish. So over here also means you become foolish. V'la'ed, and not only are you foolish, meaning not only do you have a sword over your head, not only do you have to become foolish, Elach Shechaitim, you even sin as well. Like we say, because then you're going to do an aveda because you don't know what halacha is. Shenamer, because it says in the pasuk right afterwards, after Asher Ne'alnu, when Moshe Rabbeinu says we acted foolish, then right away the Torah says Vasher Chatanu, that we sinned. So you see that right after you, when you're foolish, you end up sinning, because if you're a fool, you don't. It's a Yiddish expression. What a fool can do to a person, 100 enemies can't do. Because not out of spite, this is the guy so foolish, he can cause more harm with his foolishness and stupidity than who knows how many enemies could do to the person.
You have the statement, when a Russia throws a stone in a well, 1,000 scholars couldn't get it out.
Yeah, listen, I don't know if they have Humpty Dumpty. You have Humpty Dumpty in Iran?
Probably similar to
that.
Probably something similar to that.
All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty together again. And that's when there's a guy falls on the wall and he fell down. It's a marshal of this figurative person falls on the wall and he breaks into a million pieces. So all the great people can't put it together again. You take a dish and you break it, nobody can put it back together again. By the way, it's in life like that a lot. People do stupid things, foolish things, and then they expect people to put it back together again. You just can't. And the Gemara says, oh, through Hashem Ne'alnu, by acting foolish, you become Chatanu. That's why the whole concept of a sin, the Gemara says, is a shtus. It's foolishness. Because you don't realize the damage which is done by sinning, that, you know, certain things you just can't put back together. He says, Ibai Seima, another proof of it is, because it says, Noyalu Sari Tsoyan, that it says the nobles of Tsoyan became foolish, and that was the ultimate downfall of Egypt. So you see, by acting foolish, you end up having a downfall. So that's one interpretation of a Haski Sushma Yisrael. Then he says, Doverach, another interpretation, Haski Sushma Yisrael, what does it mean? Kitasu atchem al divrei teira. Kitasu is grinding yourself. See, one is the word haskes. First, the Gemara says kath at the end. Choftov is making groups. Therefore, the Gemara spoke about the importance of learning in a group. Now, the Gemara says haskes also comes to the word ketuse, which means grind yourself down. What does this mean? What do you mean grind yourself for the words of teira? Shlokish said, how do I know Teda exists and will be retained? Of one who kills himself over Teda, Shenamer, because it says in the Teda, Zeisa Teda, this is the laws of Adam Kiyomas Ba'il. In Parshas Chukas, when the Torah speaks about the laws of impurity of a dead body and the red heifer and the whole thing, the Parah Aduma, so the Torah says an expression, Zaysa Torah, these are the laws of Adam Ki Yomiz Ba'el, when a man dies in a tent. So the Gemara asks, the word Zaysa Torah is extra. You should say, if a man dies in a tent, this is the Zaysa Torah. So the Torah is teaching us, Zaysa Torah, if you want to acquire Torah, Adam Ki Yomiz, you got to die over it. What does it mean, die over Torah? That there should be no other interest but the learning of Torah. The level of bittul, and also the basically that nothing else should fill the person. And then the Gemara says, Dover Acher, another interpretation, is Haskis Ushma Yisrael. What does it mean Haskis Ushma Yisrael? He says, Has, be quiet, Vachakach Kitas, and then grind it up. This is an interesting halacha. He says, when the teacher is speaking, just listen. After the class is done, then you start grinding it up. Because if you're going to start talking in the middle of the class, you'll never understand what, you'll never hear what the teacher is saying. He says, Has, Vachakach Kitas, be silent, and then grind it up. Kedrava, the Elik Rava says, Damir Rava said, Le'elam yilmid adam teira. A person should always first learn teira, and then, then you should start analyzing it. Today people don't do it because everything's in the books, and you can double check it, and re-look it up. There's certain halachas that technically people today don't, in most places, are not careful about, because the situation changed. In the olden times, everything was oral. When the teacher spoke, if you started in your mind, one second, you just said something, let me try, but it seems to be a problem with it. Meanwhile, you're not getting what the teacher is saying in the next statement, because you're thinking about what he said in the past statement. So it's no good. First, listen to everything, and then when they're done, then start analyzing all the details along the way. Because if you're going to start analyzing, then you're not getting the point that he's going to be saying next. And many times it applies today also. Like, if you're learning a piece of Gemara, and if you start thinking in yourself, hey, well, there's a problem. First of all, the Gemara might ask the question, you might answer, the Gemara might, and you're going to end up missing a detail. Where I tell you where it happens a lot of times in halacha classes, you say halacha, and then the people start talking between themselves about what you just said. It happens a lot in the women's classes. They start talking between themselves. Meanwhile, the teacher's saying another halacha, and they missed the new halacha, and then they hear half words, and then this, instead of do not, they only hear the not, or the do, or the, you know, the do, and the not, or whatever, and it gets all mixed up. You have to listen, and then when it's finished, then you analyze it with the questions and figuring it out. The truth is, it depends how you're writing, Taki. Many times people end up writing and they miss because they're involved in their writing. Unless if you're able to write, like, not shorthand, but very brief, just nakuda, like points, not just to keep read, that you remind yourself what the point was. But otherwise, you're right. A lot of times kids take notes and they're not even listening. I mean, I don't know, today's kids. I mean, I teach in the high school twice a week. I mean, they're writing the whole time. When we were in school, we never took notes like that. We listened. You know, we listened to the teacher, and then today there's no listening, right? Open the window. I mean, whatever. It's not always good, unless if you're able to do it in a way that, you know, very short notes. Amid Vei Rabbiani, the yeshiva of Rabbiani said, Maidich Siv, there's a pasuk that says, Ki mitzcholov yaiti chema, the squeezings of milk yield butter, umitzaf, and the squeezing of anger, yaiti dam, will take out blood, umitzapayim, and the squeezing of double anger, yaiti riv, will make a fight. So it says, when you squeeze milk, you get butter, which is a good thing. When you squeeze anger, you get blood. When you squeeze double anger, you get a fight. Sigmar says, what does this mean? He says, "V'mi atameitzeh chemesh shel teira." By whom will you find the butter of teira? Butter means like the fats, the good part of teira. Who are you going to find it by? V'mi shameki cholav sheyonik mishtei imei aleh. When one who literally means vomits the milk he nursed from his mother, meaning he takes it and he keeps expounding on it more and more and more and more. That means he squeezes it, because then you come to the ultimate depth of teira. And then he says, "Umit af yetzi dam." And what does it mean that the juice of the squeezing of anger is going to be blood? Whoever the teacher screams at him once, v'shaisik, and he keeps quiet, that means he accepts the screaming. Zeicha lahavchin, he merits bein dam tamei ledam tohar, to differentiate between pure blood and impure blood. In the time of the Gemara, it's basically the pasuk in Chumash, even by the woman's dam, by the blood, the menstrual blood, not all blood was tamei. There was a blood that was pure and there was a blood that's impure. Today, for the last 1,000 years, we don't know what the difference is, so halachically all the blood from that area is impure. But in the time of the Torah, in the time of the Gemara, there was a concept, bein dam ledam, to differentiate, as the pasuk says, between blood and blood. Which blood is good, which blood is not good. So it says, a Talmud, that when the Rebbe screams at him because he's not learning properly and he accepts it, he doesn't get angry, you know, and he accepts it, he's going to merit to be able to differentiate, which is one of the most complex issues in Halacha, to differentiate between pure blood and not pure blood. And what does it mean that if you squeeze double anger, you're going to make a fight? This is all in a positive way, by the way. When your Rebbe screams at you twice, not once, twice, v'sheisik, and you're quiet, meaning you accept it, zeich lahavchin, he's going to merit to differentiate b'dini mamonis l'dini nefashis, between mamonitary laws, which are greater difficulties, and capital laws, which are lesser difficulties. Like he's going to quote, like he brings down from the Mashal, you need more patience to sit on a monetary dispute than in a capital punishment dispute. Because in a monetary dispute, everybody's yelling and screaming. So you need much more patience. So that's why it says if you accept the anger twice, I mean when your Rebbe screams at you twice, so you're going to be able to differentiate between monetary issues and capital laws. The Amar, the Tanan, like we learned, Rabbi Shmuel says, if you want to get smart, meaning you want to have a good brain workout, you know, one of the few things in life that the more you use, the better it gets, is called the brain. Most things, the more you use it, you ruin it. A brain, the more you use it, the better it is. So he said, if you want to get smart, yasig b'dini mamonis, you should occupy yourself in monetary laws. Chesh mishpat. Why? Shein lach mekseh b'teira yesimihem. There's no greater area in teira. There's no area in teira greater than the laws of monetary. Shein kamayim aneveh. It's like a wellspring that keeps on flowing. You know, monetary law is the most complex issues in halacha. Amr b'Shmuel ben Nachmeni said, "My dechsev, what is this that it says in the pasuk? Im zamam im nevalta bisnasi. If you shame yourself, you will be uplifted. Vim zameisa, and if you muzzle yourself, meaning you hold yourself back, yad lepeh, you're going to put your hand on over your mouth. So it says as follows: Kol menabel atzmi al divrei teira. Whoever is willing to shame himself over teira. What do you mean shame himself? Many times people are afraid to ask questions in learning because they think they're foolish questions and they're going to be made fun of. So the Gemara says, whoever is willing to become shamed by asking questions because they really want to learn and they're not embarrassed of people looking at them that they're foolish or whatever, so Seifel is Nasi, he's going to become uplifted. He's going to really be able to learn. Like it says in Pirkei Avos, Lo Yabai Shen Loimed. A person who's embarrassed to ask questions will never learn because he can't learn. Yet, if he muzzles himself and he puts his hand over his mouth, it means he doesn't ask. So what will happen? Vim zamam. I skipped the word. Vim zamam. And if he muzzles himself, means he doesn't ask questions, then yad lepeh, you're going to end up putting, every time if somebody's going to ask you a question, you're going to say, I don't know, you know, because you're not going to be able to learn. So Gemara says, if you want to learn Torah, you got to kill yourself over it. So you have to be willing to become embarrassed or whatever.